Tadviparyaha, opposite of that. Veda, books of knowledge. Narayana Sakshat, directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Swayambhu, self-born. Iti,
Iti.
Thus,
Sushruma,
we have heard.
Yes,
translation, the Yamadutas replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, religious principles, and the offices of that is your religion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of God in Narayana and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. Wherefore, the servants of Yamaraj reply, quite properly, they did not manifest preference for social religion or irreligion. Instead, they explain what they heard from the throat of Yamaraj, Mahajano Yena Gadasa Panta, wanted to follow the Mahajan, the authorized person. Yamaraj is one of the 12 authorities. Therefore, the servants of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, replied with perfect clarity when they said, Sushruma, we have heard. The members of the modern civilization manufacture the effect of religious principles through speculative concoction. This is not dharma. They do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. Therefore, as stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma approaches the Katavottara. Dharma, not supported by the Vedas, is rejected from Srimad Bhagavatam dharma. Bhagavat dharma comprises only that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat dharma is sovereign dharma prajajamamekam sharanam raja. One must accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to him whatever he says. That is dharma. Arjuna, for example, thinking that violence was adharma, was declining to fight, but Krishna urged him to fight. Arjuna abided by the orders of Krishna, therefore he is actually adharma, because the order of Krishna is dharma. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Veda Shastarvara Vidya, the real purpose of Veda knowledge is to know me. One who knows Krishna perfectly is liberated. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. One who understands Krishna and abides by his order is a candidate for returning home back to Godhead. It may be concluded that dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas, and adharma, irreligion, refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. Dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayana, as stated in Vedas, asya mahato bhutasya nisvasitam etad yad rigveda iti. The injunctions of dharma emanated from the breathing of Narayana, the supreme living entity. Narayana exists eternally and breathes eternally, and therefore dharma, the injunctions of Narayana, also exist eternally. Srila Madhvacharya, the original acharya of those who belong to Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, says, Veda nam pratamo bhakta harir eva yato vibhu ato vishna maka veda iti apur veda varana. The transcendental words of the Vedas emanate from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. The Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu, and one who follows the Vedic principles is a Vaishnava. Now, Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of this material world. Vaishnava is a real knower of the Vedas, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Translation, the Yamadutas replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of God in Narayana and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. So, the Vishnu Dutas asked the Yama Dutas about who should be punished, etc. What is the rule they're using to do their punishment? So here the Yama Dutas are replying quite properly that the what is dharma and what is adharma, and based on that people get punished. So dharma is those things which are prescribed and recommended by the Vedas, activities that the Vedas recommend. And adharma is the opposite, viparyaya, which means those things not recommended in the Vedas, even though they may be recommended in other scriptures. So, therefore, they are saying that the authority for deciding what is dharma and adharma is the Vedas. And the Vedas are directly Narayana. Of course, the Vedas, the Shruti, is eternal. And periodically, it comes out of the breathing of Hayagriva, etc. But actually the sounds are eternal, the words are eternal, and they never change. They may appear or disappear in this way. But in any case, they are non-different from the Supreme Lord. But we may also ask the question, what about other scriptures which aren't the Vedas, such as the Puranas, and Mahabharata, the Itihasa, etc.? Are they authoritative or not? So this is a question which is subject to much discussion among different scholars. Shankaracharya, for instance, says, oh, we will accept them as long as they do not contradict what is said in the Upanishads. If they contradict, then we'll take that as not literal at all, not truthful. So in other words, primary emphasis is put upon the Shruti, the Vedas. But the Vaishnavacharyas and others say, no, the Puranas, Itihas have equal authority. Since they were written by Vedavyas as commentary on the Vedas, they should not be rejected in the same meaning or something other meaning in them. Should be the same meaning. So equal emphasis is given. And therefore, of course, the Gaudiyas take the Srimad Bhagavatam as the final authority, being the last work of Vyasadeva. And of course others like Madhva takes the Mahabharata as a great authority, and Ramanuja takes the Vishnu Purana as a great authority. So no one rejects the Shruti, but at the same time the Vaishnavas also support the authority of the Smriti as being equal. So, in other words, it's also called the fifth Veda. Puranas and Itihas are called the fifth Veda. So therefore, they should be accepted as on the same level as the Vedas. So, just as the Vedas are directly Narayana, so then the Puranas and Itihas also directly Narayana, directly the Supreme Lord. Or as we can say, Vedavyas is avatar of the Supreme Lord, and he wrote these works, so why not directly the Supreme Lord? He's not going to write something which is less than himself. So the Puranas and the Mahabharata and the Vedas have authority to define what is Dharma. And it is the same as the Lord. However, if we look in the Vedas, then we will see there are different ideas about Dharma also. So we do have, of course, the regular Dharma of sin and piety mentioned in the Vedas. And we have karma kanda, etc., telling us to do sacrifices to go to heavenly planets, etc. And then we have the gyan kanda, which rejects all of this and says, don't engage in all of this. Instead, you should get liberated from the material world. That's a different dharma. So one is stay in the material world, the other is reject the material world. Now, some of the activities are the same, but some of them are also different. So, according to the Karmakanda, you have to do sacrifices and go to Svargaloka. According to the Jnanis, no, we shouldn't do those things. We should concentrate on studying the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutras instead. That is the real activity we should indulge in. So the emphasis is much different in different scriptures, and even though it's all Vedas, there are different emphases. And then, of course, we also have bhakti. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, give up the other dharmas, even though they are Vedic. Give up the karma kanda, and give up the gyan kanda also, and just do bhakti. So we'll have a little confusion here, because we'll have the Vedas as explaining what Dharma is, but then we have different versions of Dharma in Karma Kanda, Gyan Kanda, and Bhakti. So what do we do? So then some people will say, well, we can follow any of the processes, any is okay. But if we look closely at the Vedas and get the explanation, then we'll understand that we have to come to a final conclusion. Not everything is all right. We have to find out what is the final process. And when we do that, then we understand that bhakti is the final process, as Krishna concludes in Bhagavad Gita. And of course, Bhagavad Gita is a summary of the Vedas and comes to a conclusion. So we should take that as an authoritative statement. So that is the real Dharma, not the Karmakanda or the Jnana. The real Dharma is bhakti. So now we see here that the Yamadutas, of course, have more limited understanding. Even though they accept Narayana, because here they're saying everything is directed to Narayana, still they have a more conventional idea of what is right and wrong and who is punishable. And they cannot quite understand the position of a person who chants the name accidentally, and the power of that name to exempt the person from sinful activity. So that they can't really understand. So in other words, their understanding of the bhakti process is not so strong. In other words, they are more interested in pap and punya, the regular dharma and karmakanda, etc. So their understanding is correct in one sense, but on the other hand, it is somewhat limited. So we have to finally take this meaning that the surrender to the Supreme Lord is the final activity, and everything else is secondary to that. So therefore, even if the person does commit sinful activities, if he has to surrender to the Lord and do devotional service, then he becomes exempted. And the laws of Dharma, the regular laws of Dharma, don't apply to him anymore. That, of course, is the whole point of this section. So, therefore, the lesson we have to learn is it is nice to know all of the aspects of Dharma and Adharma for the Vedas, but we should also seek a bigger perspective and see which principles are higher and which principles are lower. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna argues on all levels. He argues from the point of view of Karma Yoga. And he also argues from the point of view of Jnana Yoga. You're not the body, you should be detached from everything, and therefore it doesn't matter if you kill your enemies, because fighting is, it's only bodies. So that is the Jnana Yoga. The Karma Yoga is to do your duty and fight, because even if you kill them, because they're Kshatriyas, they'll go to heavenly planet, so it doesn't matter. They don't get any bad destination, and you don't get any bad destination by following your duty, even if you kill them, it's not sinful. So Krishna sometimes argues from the point of view of karma, sometimes from the point of view of jnana. But finally, of course, then he argues from the point of view of bhakti. What I will is the best thing of all, so if you follow my will, you please me. So that is the highest principle of all. If we follow that, then the principles of regular Dharma and Jnana are secondary to that. So that is the understanding that the devotee has, or the Vaishnava has. The others will have a little more limited understanding of what is Dharma.
But the Vedas of Narayana himself, and there are different processes which are given by the Lord himself. At the same time, the variegatedness in the material world and the soul created by the desires of the soul. So these different processes are given for the evolution of these souls which are in different levels by the Lord himself. Then how come we can decry something as lower or higher?
Because a person doing a lower process will be in a lower guna. So that sense, it's lower. For people in Tamagun, they follow one process. People in Rajagun follow a different process. People in Sattvagun follow a different process. And if one follows the Tamagun process, it is incomplete. He has to eventually go to Rajagun and Sattvagun. So he says, oh, it's like grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4. So he's in grade 1. So we cannot say that's graduation. It's at the bottom. But nevertheless, it's sponsored by the government. That's at the bottom. For tamogun process for tamogun people, etc. But of course, the whole process doesn't work in Kali Yuga anyway.
A gradual process.
So therefore, Krishna says this to Bhakti.
Each Veda has their own glorification. Each Veda has their own glorification. Some Veda, if you read, we see that that's glorification of some Veda. And if you read this Yoga Veda, the same thing as that. So whenever somebody selects, yes, I am to read this Veda, then he attracted, you know, he attracted this Veda. He knows this is the highest thing.
Well, it's not so much the Vedas, because all the Vedas basically say the same thing, but the Vedas have karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda, they all have that. So within each Veda you're going to have the same subjects. Worship of demigods and going to Svarga Loka, you're going to have also the jnana kanda, because they all have Upanishads. And you're going to have upasana kanda on the samhita portion, the worship. So you have all things in each Veda. So we cannot say one is superior or one is inferior. They're just different uses.
Yeah.
They're different use for different things. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, they have the same subject matters in them.
Translation.